Hello and welcome to the Relationship Matters podcast. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters. Hello, I'm your host, Katie Churchman. And in this episode, Marita Fridchon and I are talking about reading and working with the emotional field, which is a key element of systems coaching. By closely tracking shifts in the emotional field, we can start to reflect back and possibly shape the emotional climate in a given situation. You can think of it like an immediate weather report of what is happening emotionally right now. And just like a weather report, it's not exact. There might be a 69% chance of rain. Just in the same way, you can sense some awkwardness in the air. It's subjective, ever-changing, and can provide us with a lot of information. Alongside the emotional field, we discuss meta-skills, conscious intentionality, self-awareness, and the intelligence of the body. So without further ado, I give you Marita Fridchon. Marita, I'd love to talk to you today about reading the emotional field because it's so powerful and yet it's so hard to explain and sometimes understand. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on reading the emotional field.
So it's interesting for everybody that's listening. You need to know that Katie is surrounded by thunderstorms and lightning and stuff. And every now and again, there's a freeze in the frame as we are talking together. So I'm aware that those kinds of happenings create an emotional field. There's an experience between us. It's that culture. It's the climate that is happening that's influenced by storms outside. So we have giggled and laughed and did all sorts of different things. That's an example of there's a field of experience that are often influenced by outside activities. And that's part of what we're talking about, the emotional field. It's a little bit like the climate that is there in any given situation. I'm wondering, can you think of examples of emotional fields as you move through life? And then we can unfold and play a little bit more with that.
I think as a coach, some of the most difficult ones to name have been when I'm feeling awkward as a coach or I'm not sure what to do. I'm sure there's something there in the emotional field that I'm sensing in my gut, but I guess I don't have the right word for it. And then I'm not sure what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So when you talk about that, let's go to a different example because that helps us set the stage as well. And then help me to come back to that question. When you're thinking about, so we are in COVID-19 at the moment, so restaurants are closed. But if you think back on the days when you could go to restaurants and dine out, and you are in a strange town or a foreign town, and you walk down the streets and you decide you're going to stop into a restaurant that you walk by and go and try something new. How often has it happened that you open the door, you walk into the restaurant, and from everything that you know and read on the menu, it looks like it could be a really good restaurant. You walk in and somehow there's just a sense of, not sure, let's try something else. That's an example of unconsciously picking up something of the climate or the culture that is in that restaurant. We don't know why we decided to walk out. It wasn't because the menu looked bad. It wasn't because, but there was something in that atmosphere. You know that thing where partners come home from work and we walk in the front door, there's an experience of, there's something going on here. Without the kid or the spouse saying anything about what happened at work or at school today, there's a sense that there is something in this space. That's what we talk about as emotional field. And the example that you used about there's a sense that you feel awkward, something going on. When we in our trainings and working with relationship systems intelligence, what we suggest to spouses, coaches, consultants, when you have that sense, speak to it. Without, I think here's the big thing that is a learning point for us, without labeling it too directly. So if you say, I feel a little awkward, I wonder what's going on, that's very open-ended.
Yeah.
That's a what we call a blank access question. But if you say something like, "Mary, it looks like you are angry," that's an interpretation of what created my awkwardness. And it's a guess, but it sounds, because there's different power for us as coaches, it sounds like it's a judgment.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the emotional field, first there's an awareness that you need to have. What is in this space? And then if you want to use a weather metaphor, feels like there's a lot of sun here, sunny space. And if somebody then go, "Well, no, over here, it's actually raining and thundering." Now I am in that systems-informed, systems-inspired conversation. I have expressed with honesty and transparency what's happening without labeling it.
Yeah.
Because labeling often makes somebody wrong.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work so well. So that's a little bit of an access point. Thoughts when you hear that?
I like the way you keep it open-ended, because I found language to be quite limiting when it comes to the emotional field, because it is sort of beyond language. And so yes. Yeah, how can you pin it down to one word or one thing? So I think as coaches, it's quite easy to sort of go to the intellectual and try to sort of problem solve it that way. But it's a feeling.
And it's unknown. Yeah. I think it's the challenge of our society, particularly at the moment as well, with threats all around us, with economy in recess because of what's happening with the virus, with not knowing whether you walk down the street and something is going to happen, you don't even know what's happening to you. So there is in the larger system, there is an emotional field at the moment that is ranging from feeling chaotic to feeling aggressive to feeling helpless. And it's very difficult for us to make the assessment to with certainty can say it's anger, because there's lots of different things happening.
Yeah.
So I think for us in our own vertical development as leaders, as coaches, as human beings, it's developing the language, the vocabulary, and the asset of vulnerability that doesn't have to have the answer for what you experience, but can speak to it.
Right.
Because that's the other thing we're talking about, to have awareness of the emotional field, but not working with it or not bringing it to the front, it leaves a gap. Because you noticing something that you don't speak to already is influencing the field as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of complexity to it, but it is literally the space, the water that we swim in, every single day, 24/7.
So I see why you use the weather metaphors, because the weather's always changing, so then it's not fixed to something.
Yes, yes. And if you think about when we listen to weather reports on TV or wherever, however we access it, it will give you a range.
Yeah.
It will look at the map and say, over here, there's a tornado warning. Over here, it's an excessive heat warning. Over here... That's what happens with systems. That's the global cosmic view, gives us such a good example, a metaphor for what happens in what we call the emotional field. Because it's different in the one side of the room from what's happening in the other side of the room. It's different. What's happening in my land as a kid is different from what happens in somebody else's land as a parent, from somebody else's land as a leader, from somebody else's land as a line staff member. It's all different. So when we work with emotional fields, it's not unusual to use a weather metaphor and to talk about different sides. So if it feels like over there, not sure what's happening in that weather zone. Over here, definitely feels like there's some showers or so. And then you want to put that out, the best response that you can get back is somebody either saying, "No, it's not like that," or somebody go, "Yeah, a little bit like that," because that means that they're engaged and picking up on it.
Okay. So are emotional fields personal then? Are we ever sharing the same emotional field, or do we just interpret it differently?
I think everybody is impacted by different emotional fields. And I do, when we talk about right relationship, which is, you know, the overarching thing we're talking about in these podcasts at the moment, I need to be aware of my own impact in the emotional field. because I do have impact. My personal profile and style has impact because, and again, if you look at, take any assessment tool, take StrengthsFinders, it doesn't matter what assessment tool you use for each individual system, it has a different impact. For me as a leaper, a rebel, a danger type, which are the things that shows up in my personal profiles, I have a very different impact from somebody that is charm or beauty, and I need to be aware of that. So to some extent, we can't actually talk about emotional fields without really creating our own awareness in terms of what's right relationship for me with what I'm walking into. And that means that we actually can't talk about emotional field unless we can also talk about the thing that Amy Mendel introduced into the process work world when she started talking about meta skills. So meta skills is something that we use extensively. A meta skill is like the conscious intention to bring a certain philosophy, sense of holding the space to whatever I walk into. Because I can influence the field and I can be a choice whether I go in with a meta skill of curiosity or whether I already am in a meta skill of judgment. That's that overarching sense of what I feel, and in that I am impacting. And over that I have a choice.
So how can people get in touch with whether their intention is matching the impact? Because I'm sure quite a lot of people try to come across as curious or kind and it lands in a very different way. So how can we close that gap, I guess?
You know, it's interesting when we have these conversations, I become so aware of that systemic reality of interdependence. Because we've talked a lot about what is right relationship with self, and we've talked a lot about my own vertical development. We've talked about, am I reacting to or am I creating from? When I react to, I am very often not at choice. So to some extent, if I go into, here's an example, when we train and when we lead our courses together, it's a pair of us that's leading. And part of our partnership, our team agreement, is what would be the meta skill that would serve our audience. So the moment I put conscious intention to it, what is it that I think will serve the client's agenda? What is it that will serve the agenda of my executive team when we go in with me knowing how stressed everybody is? But then I can be conscious and intentional about it, and I can choose to set aside a certain kind of reactivity or whatever, or when I bring it, I can bring it with a meta skill of open to influence, allowing people to experience what's happening. So I think that is actually the infinite journey of my own self-discovery, is being able to know. Because one of the things we're talking about is meta skills happen, whether I'm conscious of it or not. I bring an experience to the field that impacts that emotional field. And with a conscious choice of the meta skill, the attitude with which I will do something, if I can make that choice conscious, then it's a very different impact that I can bring to the emotional field. One of the best examples for meta skill that I often use is if you're thinking about a hammer and a nail, and with a hammer, nailing the nail into a wall or into whatever it is that you want to do, that's a simple skill. The attitude with which I use that hammer could lead to a blue thumb if I'm angry and in a hurry, or when I'm bringing meticulous and steadiness to it, I can drive that nail without injuring myself. So it's that kind of meta skills is the way with which I use a skill. So it's that kind of consciousness in that infinite journey of knowing me as leader or me as parent or me as coach, or and what are my intentions? What can I intentionally influence?
I love that.
That's a lot, but yeah.
No, it's complex. Great, because then you can start to see it's not just you're curious who or not. There's a whole range in there. And
yes.
I think I'm starting to become aware of my physicality within that, because I'll give myself, I don't know, an intention at the start of a session I'm coaching. And my body's saying something very different from what my intention's saying. You know, I'm trying to be curious, but I'm sort of held and I'm really forcing things through and I'm guiding the session as opposed to just holding space. And so for the next session, I leant back and changed my posture and I was much more in that intention then.
That's actually really great, because you're correct that there is a way in which, even when we are on the phone with somebody and they can't see us, there's a way in which my physical posture impacts how I come across. It just does.
Yeah.
I used to do work around people bringing the same sentence. I appreciate you. I can say that in a way that actually is bringing contempt.
Yeah.
Or I can say that in a way that actually is truly, I mean it. And all of that gets conveyed depending on how I stand, what I do with my eyes, how I use my voice, the tone of my voice, all of that impact. So if I say one thing, but every other signal goes to the opposite, that's when we create what we're talking about as a double signal. And that's very confusing for the people across from us. So saying, I appreciate you, and of course I appreciate you, very different impact.
Yeah. This takes me back to my acting days.
Yes, of course. Talk to me about that, because that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Total sense.
And I used to think it was quite different, that and coaching and or being a human being in general. And actually, you start to realize that what bad audition looks like is normally when you're focused on yourself. You know, you're worried about being good. And it doesn't matter how well you read the lines or in what tone, it comes across in a different way. And it's the same when I'm forcing my coaching and it's like, I've got to do this right. I didn't realize how much crossover there was there. It's sharing the spotlight. It's not putting the spotlight one way or the other. It's sharing it.
That's great. That's a really good insight. It is about me, but it's about me in an interdependent relationship with you, with my audience, with the script itself, with the atmosphere I am intending to create.
Yeah.
That's it. And again, that intention to create what? Is the script calling me, and is the audience, is the play calling me to create an impact of aggression? And then how do I do that? Or is it calling me to create an impact of aggression, but informing people and allowing people to come forward as well? So there really is a complexity to it that we assume and that we surround it with every day. But when we begin to unpack it, it really is about intention. It's about what is it that I want to create in the field?
So how can we become aware of those double intentions, so to speak? We've got this one intention of being curious and serving our client, but then there's this other intention, this sneaky intention that's about me and being good and being right.
Well, it's interesting. It's something that's really at play when we do podcasts, right?
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, I want to perform well, quote unquote. On the other hand, it is about what you and I create between us.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it is about the impact that we want to have on the people that's listening. And I can choose to be, one of the things I'm aware of, there's a meta skill that I want to bring to these podcasts that is about having some answers, but also not having all the answers. And that's why I love being in an exchange with you in terms of, well, what does it mean for you? Or how does it work over there? Because I don't think there's any one person that can have all the answers. But one of the examples that Faith and I often use in design is if you take the Legos cubes.
Yeah.
And if one of us play with the cube and get, okay, I've got some of the colors lined up, but go ahead, you take it over now and then you twiddle with it. It's a little bit like that. that kind of being open to influence, being willing to share and knowing I don't have all the answers, that is an incredible way that as coaches we can influence the emotional field, because we can do something and then we end it back to the client and go, okay, your time, it's your turn to twiddle because I have no idea what's happening here.
Yeah, and you made me just think of one of the ways, at least I stay with my first intention, my higher intention, so to speak, is by being present and coming back to what's being said, really listening, and sometimes just being in my body. I know that sounds really strange, but when I'm facilitating, just thinking about my feet for a moment, grounded on the floor, you're suddenly not in your head thinking about, oh, I hope I say the right thing and I hope I come across clever. I mean, it's hard. It's a daily moment-to-moment practice, but it does help.
I do think it's an awareness practice. I really do. More and more, I've always been, I grew up Christian and then took on Buddhism. And then so for me, there is an overarching spirituality. But I've always been thought or said that I'm better off the cushion or in the street than I am in the prayer or on the cushion. So because I think that that's where it's the walking the talk of what I'm practicing or whatever the religion, whatever, even if I'm an atheist, what is the thing that for me is that higher place? And bringing these kinds of awareness to myself and to you as we're on the street, I think that's where the real challenge happens.
Yeah.
Or as I'm in the conversation with other, not just with myself.
Yeah, and you're going to be more aware, firstly, of your impact on the people around you, but also you're going to be aware of your intuition. And so if you bump into someone and they make you feel strange, so often we have that. We end up buying something off someone. We're like, oh, I don't know about this. It feels a bit, I don't know, a bit dodgy. But then the mind talks us out of it, and yet the body does know. It's super intelligent.
Exactly. And that's where we get to double signals. Is that so here's the thing. People often ask me the question about meta skills and go, can meta skills be used to manipulate a situation?
Oh.
And the answer is yes. We can take every and any single good tool, intention, whatever it is. We can take everything and use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
So I can say that I am in the meta skill of forgiveness. But even as you're listening to me talking now, I'm really not feeling very forgiving, but I'm telling you I'm forgiving.
Yeah.
And it's my meta skill is forgiveness, but actually no. My tone, everything else says no, actually you're not forgiving. So if I can, there's a gap between, if I can mind the gap, because between what I think I'm doing and the impact I'm actually having, that's when I step into right relationship with me and with other. And then I can say, look, I want to feel forgiveness.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't have access to it yet.
Yeah.
Or I want to hear and see that you did your best in this project. Right now, I don't have access to it. That's some of what the research that Gottman and others have done proves to be correct, is that if I'm not ready to make a repair bid or to receive a repair bid, I just need to be honest with them and go, I really hear you. Right now, I'm not ready for it. But that puts the responsibility on me to then go back to you, whether you're my employee or my team member, or a family member, it's then my responsibility to go back and go, okay, I'm ready to have that conversation now.
Yeah. So you're acknowledging the gap. You're not closing it necessarily because you're not there yet.
Yes.
But you're saying, I think Brené Brown says something along the lines of, the story I'm telling myself is, you're really annoying me.
Yes. Yes. So that's why we're talking about meta skills or manipulating the field doesn't work. When I use a meta skill to manipulate the field, it's easier for me to then read the field that is between us by saying, right now, it doesn't feel easy. And we can either talk about that or we can come back to it at another time. But that's then a certain kind of emotional field that feels awkward, difficult, but we can name it and be co-responsible for it, or I can take responsibility and say at some other point, this might be the conversation to have, but not now. So I'm responding to the field within me with integrity and between us with integrity. But if I can put that out, that I will come back, that's very different.
Yeah. So would you say meta skills are a way of consciously shaping emotional fields?
That's a brilliant, repeat that, because that probably is the definition that could go down.
At least we've got it recorded, because I can't remember what I just said.
It's meta skills is something with which I can consciously shape the emotional field. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. You had a more brilliant word there. You said meta skills is, and then something in there, but it really is that with which I can shape the emotional field.
Okay. So that's our power. It's our tool as a coach and a human being.
Yes.
We can start to bring something different into that difficult meeting.
Yes, and again, if we can tie it into that system plan, a constant state of emergence, and meta skills shows up where I can intentionally know when I am in reaction, and when I'm in reaction to something, I probably won't be able to be skillful around the meta skills that I bring to it. That's when I need to be able to say, right now, can't. But then when I begin to go into the creating from, that's where I can begin to be at choice with integrity about what the meta skills are that I can bring.
Could that be a meta skill in itself, though? Because you're being at choice to not be at choice.
I think you can go there.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the things that I was thinking of as we're talking is a really good practice that I want to throw out there is think about the people that you find most challenging. And then when you think about that, consider in different situations, what were the unconscious ways in which you created an emotional field with them that felt hostile, rejecting, whatever. So pick somebody that's difficult for you to be with. Then think about the situations that you've been in and how did you contribute to the emotional field unconsciously, because she really felt negative or hostile or whatever. And then now here's the spiritual practice is prototype a next time that situation repeats itself. What might be a meta skill that you can hold with integrity that can influence that feel differently?
That's great. Can I take that a step further then and ask you a question building on that? How would you work with those people virtually speaking? Does that change how we work with the emotional field?
Yeah, I don't think so. And again, when you say virtually, it's one thing when I am phone only, and there are certain parts of the world where we still continue to do that.
Yeah.
So when I'm phone only, there is more questions for me to ask.
Yeah.
So that I can be informed with what's happening over there and I can share what's happening over here. But can you feel how it really is a relationship piece? It's an exchange. And I can call whether the experience of that creates a negative field and then design around that. If we are virtual, there's a different sense of experience. I can quote unquote see more. I can sense more by looking at who is in front of me. So I think it's more enhanced, if you will. But virtual or in person doesn't determine whether there is an emotional field. There is an emotional field, period.
So I guess with the virtual piece, though, we're not actually getting the energy like we would in the room from the people around us. But you're right, we do sense it. So is there a difference there in the way we read that?
It's interesting because you and I are virtual at the moment. And when I think of our interaction, a lot of what I sense is there's an excitement. There is lightness. There is depth. So I can even when I look at the camera and not directly at you, I have a sense of what's created between us. Now, where you're correct, if I have 2,000 people on the line, like what happens in sessions like WBEX, I can't have that sense as strongly. I can see some of it, feel some of it by what comes through in chat and gets reported out. But then that's the case even when we are in person with an audience or a group of 200 in front of us. Unless we can set it up in such a way that we can have different interactivity and get feedback from round tables of 8 or 10, even then I can sense something in this space. And that's where, if I'm in front of a group of 300 or whatever, and we've got them in table rounds of 8 or 10, and we get feedback from the tables, and I am in this space, it's easier for me to read. So you're right. I think there is a difference in how we can work our abilities, whether we are virtual or in person.
So one final question. I could go all day with this subject. How do we stop ourselves being sidetracked by people's double signals? So when we do podcasts, and anyone who's had experience acting on camera, for example, will get that direct feedback, and it's not always comfortable to see your little habits and things. But I remember being told I smile too much or I nod my head too much, and all these little signals could lead to certain emotional fields and perhaps ones that I'm not intentionally trying to create being created. So how do we stop ourselves from reading people's unconscious clues and then sort of creating a story around them that isn't necessarily true?
That's a great question. You make me think about this. There's probably something that we can create that is a session with, I don't know, 6, 8 people. And I think one of the ways to work with it would be to have people observe each other and ask them about, so you talk about the smile, ask people to get curious about what is it that you make up when you see her smiling all the time? And then for you to really talk about what goes on for you when you're smiling. I think it's the unfolding of our interpretations.
Yeah.
That would be really, really useful. So I know that I do a lot of things with my hands, and that has impact. So with you, I do more things with my hands on this call because I know we're not broadcasting video. Mm. But it would be really interesting to unfold with one another. What does it mean? What does it give me when I do hands? What is it that it takes away? What is it that it gives you when you smile? What is it that's distracting? Close the gap between your experience of it and how it's impacting others. I think it's that exploration that contributes to our growth in relationship, in partnership, but also my own vertical development, my impact.
I'd say our growth and our freedom, I guess, because then we've got the freedom to choose.
Yes.
But like the weather, I guess, it's dependent on who you're talking to. So
I think so.
It's always going to land differently, isn't it? Depending on where you are.
I think so. And there's something about when I have more insight into that, then I can bracket it. I can, in a situation with a challenging team or in my team, I can say, I noticed that when I'm talking with you now, I a lot, because that's what I do when I don't quite know what's happening in my own self or in others. I have that thing happening that I want everybody to edit out when you do sessions. But it is about, I can then bracket and I can say, I notice that I do that thing, which means that I'm probably looking for an answer. Anybody here has some answers in terms of what's happening now or what I'm trying to say. Now I can use it because I have some insight into why it is that it shows up. And just by even able to answer that and ask that question, the emotional field is hugely impacted differently.
Yeah, because you're owning it and you're being transparent with it.
And again, we could feed it back to the meta skill of vulnerability or curiosity or... And it's not all about me, but how is it also about us? And from that systems-inspired leadership place, how can all of us work with it? But you can hear that even in our talking about this now, my speech has slowed down a lot. because I'm in that unfolding place, inviting other in to help. And bracketing will do that for us.
Final question.
You're cheating.
I know. No. Do you have a favorite meta skill you use as a coach?
I can tell you the meta skill that I think is probably, from an ICF accredited perspective, the best one for coaches, is the meta skill of curiosity, where I can ask questions that I don't have answers to. So that's a favorite, but I do think there is a place where, as a coach, the meta skill of challenge is a strong one for me. Where is it that I see the gap between who you really are and what you claim for yourself? That meta skill of, what is the resume that you, client, need to update?
Yeah.
Because you think you're here, but you already are somewhere else. So it's that, it's the challenge, it's the invitation to close the gap between the impact that you have and who you think you are.
Yeah.
Good or bad. And it's usually, there's a lot more good or evolvement or evolving that we mask because we stay true to an old impression of who I am. But the world already sees something different.
So we need some rigor as coaches.
Rigor and challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge is an invitation.
Yeah.
And failure is an opportunity. So
failure is an opportunity. I love that, Marita. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you for creating the emotional field that we did, and walking our talk on this one. Pleasure as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Relationship Matters podcast. In this episode, Marita and I discuss how to see and shape emotional fields. And here are my key takeaways. An emotional field isn't fixed. Just like the weather, it's constantly changing. Meta skills enable us to consciously shape the emotional field. Be aware of double signals. Could a secondary signal be undermining your higher intention? Tune into your intuition and the body's intelligence. Not all of the answers are in your head. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And for further articles, resources, and to hear more about Marita's work, do check out crrglobal.com. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters.